This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we consider the aftermath and the results from the 2022 midterms, our friends in Media Matters have always been on top of things. And I think we do well to hear a bit more from Media Matters about what actually happened and what didn't happen, despite the right-wing media's coverage. Joining us now, senior fellow at Media Matters, our friend Matt Gertz. Matt, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm just fine. Good to see you, as always. Did we see a hole in the ability or the armor of the right wing? When you have Fox and everybody else pushing, trying to get out the vote, declaring a red wave or red tsunami even, and that doesn't actually happen. What does that tell us about what effectiveness they still may or may not have?
Yeah, I think they had a strategy going into this election, and it just didn't pan out for them. I mean, if you look at these sort of political fundamentals, it should have been a very good night for Republicans. You have, Democrats controlling the presidency in the House and the Senate. Normally a midterm after that, you have some backsliding, high inflation and gas prices and so on and so forth. But the red tsunami that people at Fox and in the Republican Party kept saying was going to arrive didn't make it. I think Fox is really responsible for quite a lot of that. I mean, the thing about Fox is they have a really strong hold on the Republican Party. The Republican base is always watching the network. That has created an expectation for Republican politicians that they behave more like Fox News hosts. And people like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham are major kingmakers in the Republican Party, whose endorsements can determine who the Republican candidates are. The problem is that affect and the positions that the Fox News hosts have and that the Republican base has come to expect from their candidates is extraordinarily popular with normal people. Fox News hosts have very strange obsessions. They are, and the things that they focus on are not the things that the American public are interested in. They're out of touch with the median voter, and that cost Republicans a bunch of seats.
You mentioned, did you say normal people?
Normal people, yeah, they're weirdos. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
Anyone who is sort of deeply interested in the nitty-gritty of politics is a little bit out there. Even people like me. I'm not going to say that I'm like the be-all and end-all of normalcy. But to be a Fox host is to be someone who makes money and attracts audience by raging at everyone at all times. And that's just not a normal way to behave.
Right.
And so you see the sort of vitriol that they spew, it's just not the sort of thing you want to have. I mean, take someone like Tucker Carlson, okay? So Tucker Carlson, he's a millionaire. His father is a former ambassador. He was raised by his father's second wife, who's an heiress from the Seagram's fortune. He does TV commentary for a living because billionaires really like his takes. And, you know, he's obsessed with white nationalist conspiracy theories. He rejects the idea of the American creed of liberty and equality and democracy. He's a blood and soil nationalist. You know, he's deeply invested in foreign authoritarians like Hungarian autocrat Viktor Orban. I mean, these are just not things that normal people talk about. Normal people do not complain that wokeness is responsible for everything from the U.S. retreat from Afghanistan to the green and brown M&Ms not being sexy enough. Like, this is just strange behavior. And it just doesn't play well with the American voter. And the people who try to get Carlson's approval and win the support of his audience are going to have problems appealing to that median normal American voter.
Speaking of Tucker as well, he was involved in the midterms, particularly in Arizona. That didn't go so well for him, in spite of all of his reach and popularity on their side. That didn't yield any good results for him either, did it?
Yeah, it was a total faceplant. Tucker Carlson, his biggest role in this election was promoting two candidates. One of them was J.D. Vance, who won in Ohio in the Senate race there, though by a significantly smaller margin than the Republican won in the governor's race. So what you have there is they bet on J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance was not particularly popular, but because Ohio is a very red state, he won anyway. In Arizona, he got behind Blake Masters, who is the sort of venture capital executive who worked for Peter Thiel, the sort of fascist right-wing billionaire. Tucker also got staunchly behind Carrie Lake, who was running there for governor. Those races didn't work out. Both of those candidates, like Tucker himself, were weirdos. Masters ran a sort of terminally online campaign with some really bizarre videos featuring him out in the Arizona desert with a pistol, like shooting randomly off into the distance. And Carrie Lake spent all of her time attacking the media rather than talking about the issues that Arizonans care about. And so this is a state that Biden won by the smallest vote margin of any state in the 2020 election. It was only like 10,500 votes that Biden won by. And Mark Kelly had won the race for Senate that same year by 51%. The midterms should have been more favorable. And yet, for both the governor's race and for the Senate race, Tucker's Republican candidates lost.
And that says something.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We cannot overstate, you touched on it, but just broadly, we can't overstate how much Fox News played a role in even the selection of a lot of these candidates. So it wasn't just people just jumping in and them supporting them. They've been there from beginning to end with some of these folk, and they still didn't win. So this, you know, we over the years, we would talk about, you and I and others, would talk about, you know, Fox News literally being the PR arm of the GOP. But when you actually are cultivating candidates, you're a little bit more than just a PR arm. You are driving the personality and the ideology of the party, are you not?
I think that's right. I think, you know, I started working at Media Matters in 2007. And at the time, the way we viewed Fox News was as sort of a megaphone for the Republican Party's positions and talking points. And, you know, over the years, I think the tail is now wagging the dog. You see Fox News hosts wielding far more influence and far more power than your average U.S. senator. I mean, they have national platforms, and they use those platforms to shape not only the Republican Party message, but the candidates that the Republican base ends up supporting. And that's just, again, a really not a great position for a political party to be in, because the thing that Fox News hosts are trying to do is attract an audience of 3 or 4 million people. And the way that they do that is by trying to amp them up as much as possible. But 3 to 4 million people, while it's a lot in the scheme of cable news, is not a lot in the scheme of the American electorate. It's a tiny fraction of it. And so if you have a political party trying to appeal solely to the Fox News audience and the Fox News hosts, it's going to run aground. It's going to be a problem. And I think Republicans are experiencing that right now. I don't know if it's possible for them to learn a lesson from it or to sort of disentangle themselves from Fox News. I expect that they won't. But I think that is going to pose a problem to them going forward.
And that is a sobering number too, Matt, when you say 3 to 4 million. That's not a lot of people. Not even enough to really influence elections or races. One, and over the years, you and I have talked about, you know, their need to reach out to a certain audience to get advertising dollars. They really don't have advertising anymore. So then you have to really, I mean, even when you say that, you now have to ask a fundamental question. What is the real purpose? If you're only reaching 3 to 4 million, and then that still doesn't make a difference at the races, at the polls, and you have no more advertisers, then at some point, what are you doing? What is any of this yielding other than, as you said, just a bunch of crazy, weird stuff on television?
They are shaping the Republican Party, right? And influencing the issues that it takes on. That's going to make them make that party less capable of winning, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't win, right? I mean, we saw in 2020 that even with a minority of the vote in the U.S. electoral system, Donald Trump can be elected president, even though he's only got 45-46% of the popular vote. Because of the way our government is structured, that is enough to win the presidency. And in U.S. Senate races, that can be enough to take the Senate as well. I mean, this was a bad result, I think, for the GOP compared to what they were expecting. It was still enough to win the House by a very narrow margin, and probably a margin that is so tight that it's going to make it difficult for them to do basically anything. I think we could see some real chaos out of the House. But, you know, it's not immaterial. It's not nothing.
Yeah. But even though it appears that they won the House, I mean, in what other universe could that happen and it still be a loss? It's almost as if winning the House is inconsequential because of the slimmest of margins. I mean, it doesn't even feel like they won the House. It doesn't feel like they won anything, despite all of the red wave talk and all of that. You mentioned too, you're right. I mean, in the presidential election with this electoral college, all kind of trickery can happen. You also have looked recently at the way the coverage has been across media of Trump teasing his 2024 announcement. And is it true that in that coverage, there's not been enough or not been sufficient focus on the coup attempt?
Honestly, I've been cautiously optimistic about the way this has panned out so far. You know, I think my view is that the coup attempt that Donald Trump made in late 2020, early 2021 is really what separates him from basically anyone else in modern American politics. His willingness and ability to subvert the election and to summon people to engage in political violence on his behalf is not something we've seen in recent history from anybody else. And so I think that it's very important for mainstream media outlets to really hammer that home. And again, I'm cautiously optimistic about how that's gone so far. I saw headlines in places like the Washington Post and NPR that really stressed in the headline that he had engaged in insurrection. Other outlets like the New York Times mentioning it in the first paragraphs. The ones who aren't talking about it are the Murdoch media, Fox News, Wall Street Journal. That's where you really see them trying to, avoid discussing the coup attempt and the insurrection. I don't know. I hope that that continues. I hope that there's been some real lessons learned in the press. I'm not entirely sure that there is. I think one thing that will be interesting as this election unfolds is that if Ron DeSantis gets into the race, the governor of Florida, as it seems that he probably will, there's a lot of Republican establishment support for his candidacy. And I think you could see journalists feel a little bit more free than they did during the 2016 general election through the Trump presidency to be more critical of Donald Trump. Because they know that a big swath of the Republican establishment doesn't really support him. And so that's something I'll be keeping an eye on over the next 2 years, I guess.
And we're glad to have you in Media Matters to keep an eye on all these things.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
You want to give us an idea? What's the next piece you're looking at?
I'm going to start preparing for the 2024 primaries. I think that those are going to be fought primarily on Fox News and other right-wing media outlets. I don't think that you will see Republican candidates spending a lot of time on CNN or MSNBC or the broadcast networks. I think they know that while the audience is not gigantic on Fox News, it is influential, and that the Fox News hosts in particular are going to matter a lot. And so I'll be looking back at how many appearances people that might run have made on Fox News over the last couple of years and looking forward at what we might see in the years to come.
The quite prolific senior fellow at MediaMatters.org. Check him out. Doing a lot of great work. He's on top of all of it and great analysis. And the piece on the coverage, I mean, one of the other good things that Matt does, I mean, he can give us, even though it may not be called that, it is a scorecard. You can kind of see how some of the mainstream media are covering the looming Trump announcement and whether they're acknowledging that history of what he's done in the past couple of years. So if Matt's cautiously optimistic. That gives us all reason to be hopeful. And we'll continue to watch that. MediaMatters.org. Matt Gaetz, Senior Fellow. Thank you as always, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.